A new year is full of surprises, but one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services. So when postage goes up, your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com is like your own personal post office, wherever you are. You can even take care of orders on the go with the mobile app. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Schedule package pickups, automatically find the cheapest and fastest shipping options, and seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. There's even a supply store where you can stock up on mailing supplies, labels, even printers. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. All you need is a computer or phone and printer. Take a chunk out of your mailing and shipping costs this year with Stamps.com. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com code PROGRAM.
Off the ball. GAA.
Well, even if I wanted, I put it this way, I put my back out trying to take off my shoes the last day. So if I was still a typical corner forward, I'd absolutely hate
Off the ball.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
OTB GAA.
Hello there, and you're very welcome back to the Football Pod. It's Monday, the 29th of January. James O'Donoghue and Paddy Andrews are with me. Who wants to say hello first?
Paddy.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, friends.
What's the story, lads?
All's good in the hood.
Decent weekend back.
Hectic, wasn't it? With the hectic weekends. A million games all through Saturday and Sunday. My wife doesn't talk to me anymore because I just sitting watching TG Carr and RTE for the whole weekend. It was good games though, considering conditions are always diabolical. First game in the National League, but there was still some good ball played. It was windy at Salt Hill, which was a big surprise.
I was worried about the Galway game with the camera, but they just seemed to save it after about 15 minutes. I was like, I can't sit through this. And they kept having to cut to really close-up shots of the players. I was like, oh no, not again, please.
I thought...
It's just so genuine.
Healy Park was worse. So you got through the Galway game, and you're right, I think they managed it reasonably well. And then it cuts back to TG Carr, and poor old Gary Sice is getting blown fucking out to the Irish Sea.
He nearly took off.
Oh, my, I was the same. I was like, I don't know, can I watch two more hours of this, like, but it actually wasn't bad.
It's genuinely a different game, like, yeah. It's completely different traits to be a good player in that weather as to middle of the summer. As much as you learn about yourself and about the team, it's such a different game, isn't it?
It's all like it's character building now, like, whereas the summer it's actually about, can you actually play football? Like,
it's just you're back in the dressing room and they're saying, that's money in the bank, lads, that's money in the bank. How many times have you heard that? Like?
It's 3-2 at half time, money in the bank, baby.
Did you have boys who were particularly good winter footballers? And then,
Always good winter footballers. Like, yeah.
And you need them. They're so important because if you don't have them and you get dusted in every league game, it's very easy for it to go kind of, geez, how are we actually fixed here? When you could be fine, you just need to get over the line in a couple of results.
Do you think the dressing rooms that lose at the weekend, there's going to be many of them that are worrying or rattled, or are they kind of thinking, you know, we're in training blocks here, we know there's bigger things ahead. Like, do we, because the league is so entertaining, do we read too much into it?
I don't think there's going to be many teams losing at the weekend going, pushing the panic buttons. Really. Like, a lot of the games, this is the thing with National League, a lot of games are very tight as well. Like, you've seen, particularly in Division 1 games, obviously the ones that were getting the most coverage, very, very tight games. Maybe if you're Cork, perhaps, that it was, like, going up to Ballybuffet, Jim McGuinness's first game, that's always a big ask, but that was a big defeat. You know, double figures, that's, you might be looking going, Jesus, okay, we need to kind of, need to have a look at ourselves here, but it's still January. Like, we spoke about this last year. And the impact of the National League and Division 2 was probably more important, obviously, because of its direct impact on the Championship. But like Jimmy, you said it last year, like Mayo were the best team by a mile towards the end of the spring last year, and they had a disaster in the Championship. So it's... It'll be the same this year.
Well, they were flying.
They were impressive. They were flying. Now, God, we were very bad as well. Like, but if you're a Pádraig Joyce, well, you don't know what teams... There's so many players getting opportunities, younger players. Bar maybe Derry, who seem to have their basically their full pack out. It's very rare for all the other counties that it's not really their championship 15. And you just don't know what work teams have done. You know, some teams might have 2 or 3 months under their belt. Some teams might be literally 4 to 6 weeks behind someone else. So I wouldn't read too much into it.
If you're fully loaded as well, it does, it kind of takes away the opportunity of finding a random nugget or a random star, you know, that wouldn't usually get the chance. Like if you're down the pecking order, if you're down the pen, or if you're young and a couple of the big boys are missing, that's when you get the chance. If your manager is picking your strongest 1 to 15 the first round of the National League, you're kind of going, this is going to be a long year for me. If you're down the list, you know what I mean?
The ideal blend though must be something like maybe 11-4. You know, Derry went with 13-2 at the weekend. That, like, for those young lads that come in there, Declan Cassidy and Dermot Baker, cornerback, both impressed, both look very comfortable on the ball. That's a good time to come in when there's 13-year strong players around.
I always think that's it's nearly unfair on younger players if you're put in and there's 10 changes, isn't it? It's
10 debuts.
It's so, like, whereas, and we used to do this a bit with Dublin as well, if you're giving one or two guys a chance, put them in with 10 or 11 frontliners. So the rest of the team is kind of playing to a system and a structure, and the guys can come in and just top up. And you're right, I thought Cassidy in particular was good at centre forward. We know Derry are pretty strong defensively, and for Mickey Hart, like, I tipped them for last week, lads. I knew they'd go big for this league, and they seem to be taking it very, very seriously, no more so than the three Glen boys talking out. But it's forwards where you feel Derry can get real value if they can pick out one or two guys. And the young lad Cormac Murphy coming off the bench, obviously wins Shane McGuigan's free at the end, but just that real pace and directness. Yeah. And then Cassidy doesn't look like an out-and-out scorer, but that kind of link play to supplement, obviously McGuigan as one of the top forwards in the game. So in a way, we were just kind of chatting off here. I think Mickey Hart's delighted because he's gone and defeating Kerry in the first game of the league down three. So that's a big win for the group. The Glen boys are straight back in now. They're integrated into the team. It's all systems go. They play Tyrone this weekend. But I don't think Jack O'Connor will be overly disappointed either. Do you know?
No.
If you look, they could have won that game. Second half was a brilliant kind of third quarter from Kerry to really get back into the game. But look who Kerry are missing. You know, Dermot O'Connor comes on and it has a great impact. But Tyke Morley, obviously the two Cliffords, that's pretty much the spine of their team missing. And taking pretty much everything that Derry have got, they still could have won the game. So I think both managers will go away from that pretty reasonably happy with how it went for them.
I wonder, will he leave the Glen boys off? No. Now that, like, I just think that Kerry away is a big, it's like,
to play,
home for to Kerry
play
away.
Toronto, I know, this I know. He's not know. Leaving them off for that one. Like,
it's
no
not
chance.
Getting any, there's an even bigger rivalry. But Kerry away, it's like, hang in there for one more week, lads, and come down and we'll beat Kerry away. What a game for us. And then go away for 2 or 3 weeks.
Nah,
do you reckon there's a bit of that?
I think if you're back in, you're back in.
I know.
Well, there's a break. There's a week break after Tyrone, so maybe then they're getting a few days after that, and maybe that's the kind of, you know.
Well, in the interview after, they asked McFall, did you celebrate it? Yeah, we were back in training on Wednesday.
Wednesday.
You wouldn't even have your phone charged. But
no. The phone would be lost. You'd be lost. You'd be going to the guard station looking for a new phone. Did I even have my wallet and my phone in?
In fairness, I mean, it is unbelievable for him to do that, like.
Do you think Mickey Hart's gone to him and said, I want you this weekend? Or do you think Mickey Hart has gone, it's up to you guys? Or do you think the lads have gone in and said, we're mad at them? Is Conor Glass captain this year?
I think he said, it's up to you, but there was a heavy hint,
if it's up to you, well then, he's a new manager. So Glass is the captain. McFall is kind of trying to get into the team. Ethan Doherty probably has a bit more. Like, if you're McFall, who's been on the fringes of the team, and the new manager comes to you and you get a text on Sunday night, you're only leaving Croker, you're about 6 points deep, and it's like, be great to see you next weekend. Like, what do you do? You're like, you can't, yeah, can't wait, buzzing for a coach. So.
Have you ever got a it's up to you, Paddy?
A couple of times, and it's not really once that's said to you, it's you have to play
because if you do anything out the way, it's just thrown back in your face then after, or
it's
like
so petty,
you play shit, it's well, you would have been all right if you didn't do that or whatever. So Once it's said to you, you're in.
I don't think this would be too much of a stretch to suggest that, like, someone like Ethan Doherty, who didn't turn up to the All-Stars the night that he won Young Footballer of the Year, Conor Glass, who obviously returned from a lifestyle and professional sports person in Australia, McFaul, as you mentioned, just back after being away in the States. It wouldn't take much for those three boys to turn around and say,
that's what I mean, Tommy. It was kind of the reaction.
Let's go on and win in All-Ireland.
I was
now
watching the game, obviously, on RTE, and I think Sean Cameron and Gooch were doing it, and just the reaction on Twitter and everything was like, this is madness. And I agree. I don't think they should have played, but it could easily. I wouldn't be putting the blame at Mickey Hertzog, because we don't know. The three lads, like you said, easily could have just turned around and go, "We're mad to play this game." And then if you're Mickey Hertzog, great to have you back. So we don't know the ins and outs. It was just surprising. My own perspective, Jimmy.
I thought it was class.
I don't think it's mad, but it's not. Yeah. I don't think it's crazy. Once they get the break at some stage, you can still time the rest, but like, you've got to take a couple of weekends off there with no. Imagine how intense a club All Ireland run is. Are you no, Paddy? How far do you go on that? You go to an Ireland semi?
Leinster final. It's full on.
That's heavy. It's heavy load. You're playing of pride and passion there.
2 years they've been on the go.
2 years it's of not it. Just and last they got season. Straight into it last year. They got straight back into
it. And they went in the week after. So it is literally 24 months on the spin.
You'd want two weekends off, honestly, at least. And that's being very stingy.
That's the thing with the schedule. If you look, it's league. Derry clearly are gunning for the Division 1 title. Then they're straight into the Ulster Championship. Of all the provincial championships, there's no rest there. So, look, it's an interesting one. We don't know the ins and outs. The players, mad for road, easily could have been. Might have been Mickey Hart turning around saying, get back. We're playing Kerry. It is a marquee fixture. Like for example, I know Dublin play Kerry at the end of this month, 24th. I would expect the Cliffords will be back for that. Like Desi Farrell hinted the other night after the Monaghan game that Cluxton and Fitzsimons and John Small and Paul Mannion, these guys will see action in the league. There's fixtures in the league that are big games. And I'd no doubt Mickey Hart was looking going, we're playing Kerry away in our first game. And you could see that.
Yeah. That like a statement. James, if players wanted a weekend off or wanted a few days off, you'd hardly go straight to the boss, man. You'd have to go canvassing off a selector or something.
Is this just in general, though?
You like,
without having won a club championship. Can I have a couple of days off? Get the fuck
out. It's not Marcus Rashford in Belfast.
He did a week in Belfast and then I'm sick. What?
I'm feeling a bit sick. You don't look for time off. Off training.
No.
And If this fella's looking for time off, there's something wrong.
Yeah, but it's not like much time as you want. Good luck.
Delete my number.
Take 3 months.
You've never seen again.
No.
Some of the other statement wins. That was a statement win from Derry. No doubt about it. Going out to Tralee in the first night, beating Kerry. Now, Kerry don't have the most amazing record first day out. Another team that has a pretty shocking record of the first day out in the league is Galway. They were beaten heavily by Mayo, 212 to 10 points. Late Kieran O'Connor penalty kind of putting the icing on there. Big win Saturday night for Monaghan. The Dubs are finding it so hard to get by Monaghan, no matter what team they have out.
Monaghan since 2017 in the league.
Outrageous.
I was terrible that day. I remember it, yeah. I was lording up in Clonus that day.
Were you?
Something else. It was.
Wow.
Dublin, I thought they started well. Great goal for Costello. Great move. Kick pass.
A couple of great passes.
And I was like,
two foot passes.
Lovely kick pass, and here we go. But Dublin defensively, not good.
But you know what? Do you know what's unreal, right? Do you know what we say about kick passing and how good it is to watch? A fella standing his man up and going at him is so good to watch as well.
Arguably about better. McCaffrey.
Well, I'm talking about O'Hanlon.
O'Hanlon for Manon was brilliant.
From most importantly, I think that the way he just gets the ball and he goes, and the whole crowd knew in the second half. Every time he got it was like, ooh, and he just did a little shimmy and just went for it. And there was three or four hanging off him. It's so good to watch.
It's a hell of a lot easier to do that when you're lightning quick. There's times I've got it myself and I'm going to stand this fella up. And you're in third gear. He's like,
quicksand.
Yeah, it's not happening. But O'Hanlon, to be fair, if you've that pace, why would you not? Like McCaffrey, obviously, on Dublin side, it was a brilliant that counter attack move, and Dublin missed the goal opportunity. It was a brilliant move. But O'Hanlon on Monaghan's side, he gets a brilliant goal, causes havoc in the second half. Monaghan could have really, this was kind of the theme of this match. Really, direct runners in Dublin were really, really struggling with that. But for Vinnie Carty and Manning, like, we're talking about teams missing frontliners, and every team across the board, bar with the exception of maybe Derry, were under the pump there. But Manahan without Began, McManus, obviously probably their two most important players of the last 10 years. What a result Carty. For Vinnie Carty. Yeah. You know, they're their best players. So for Manahan, the big thing here, for them to get a win on their own, if you get to 6 points in Division 1, you're pretty much nailed on to stay up. And Monaghan will fancy their chances now. Like, that's a big win. And you could see Desi Farrell was probably a bit frustrated after that game, because it puts Dublin under pressure to stay in Division 1 there. They go to Castlebar, league specialist Mayo, on Saturday night, but not winning their home games. And particularly that one, losing your first game is... Like I said, I don't think there's... You asked at the start, top of the program, Tommy, are the teams kind of panicking around it? No. It's too early for that. But I think there's teams and coaches who will be frustrated at how the first weekend went for them.
Yeah. With Monaghan, like, a win away to Dublin is a great win for the camp. It's like, and you could even see them on the pitch after.
Yeah.
They knew that they'd done something important and kind of special there. They were on the field. They knew they had a couple of big performances from some players who probably needed a big performance. That can give your whole league just a feeling of, we're going to have a good year. And like that kind of enthusiasm can have, can give you that momentum and give you a chance. But just on the say, when you're taking on a man like that, like all the Monaghan lads just stood them up, and when around him, it was unbelievable. But say you beat your man, right? Say you're going past him and you slap away his tackle, his near-hand tackle, and you're past him by a yard or two. Automatically, another defender has to leave his man to cut you off, right? So already know you've got that 2v1 overlap, situation. Yeah. And like, It's God knows what's going to happen. It's a goal chance from there nearly for a lot of, say for a Dublin, it's probably a goal chance once they let that happen once. And like Monaghan just carved through for goal chances like that.
But that's what Micheál Bannigan did. He took on Jack McCaffrey aggressively, out around 50 yards out. A little bit of space opens up and he pops that pass to O'Hanlon, who goes straight at it. O'Hanlon was a basketball prodigy, lads, growing up. I don't know if you know that, but he was in around...
He's been a handful for us before, I must say.
He likes playing Dublin.
19 in the league up in Clonus. He came on.
Off the bench.
Yeah.
But a couple of young Monaghan lads now.
A place like that is a handful for any team.
But you know, they've discovered a couple of forwards. Young McNulty coming off the bench has been flying at club level the last couple of years. Very young Andrew Woods come off the bench, kick a point. Young Mooney came off the bench. There's some, like, Monaghan keep discovering talent there, and they seem to be ready to play inter-county football.
They've got underage system. They've a decent record underage, to be fair to them. Like, so.
But say where they're taking on their men on half forward, right? 10 and 12. That position is often filled by,
here he goes,
maybe middle pace. No, but fellas who don't have that skill or pace. Yeah,
I've been there. Whereas I've been that workhorse.
10 and 12 run the game.
Like,
10 and 12 can run the game.
They used to.
10 and 12 can run the game. Look at every top team going through the years. If they have a good wing forward or two, they can run the game.
Have you been drinking?
Like, you have to have players there who can impact it.
No, I agree. You can have such an impact there, but
they're coached to just maybe contest a kick out, run around, fill a space.
Do 15k on the GPS. I have an observation from the weekend.
Yeah,
you may have picked up on this. What about when teams get that overlap? How many teams are butchering these goal chances?
Huge.
Now Stephen O'Brien,
they're dishing it.
But yeah, and this is the thing. This is the Stephen O'Brien gets the one, and is it Shawnee Shea at the back post? He's trying to get it to.
Yeah,
and it's the decision making. Like, Derry defend that well.
They know exactly what he wants to do.
Yeah, but there's a time then, and this is, you get accused of being selfish if the defender plays it well and is cutting out the pass, because Mayo had one. In the first half, Ryan O'Donoghue.
O'Shea.
And he shifts it to Aidan O'Shea. If you shift that pass and it's kind of behind, I think the best way to score that goal is for the other guy to get right to the back post, loop it up, and palm goal. Which is what Stephen O'Brien is trying to do. But Derry defended it so well. And if that's cut up, then Stephen O'Brien has to go himself. Dublin's goal chance, the brilliant move in the first, Owen Merchant doesn't commit the defender. Costello shifts it to Lorcan O'Dell. And the whole crowd knows you've got to cut on his right and have a shot. He misses it. Dublin miss another one in the second half with Khan does it brilliantly, does everything right, and Pascal just misses the feckin' palm goal. But if you hand pass it to the guy who's standing waiting and he's going to cut back in and try and have a shot. It's so rare that's going in. The palm, I know you hate it, Jimmy, but the palm goal is the most effective one.
It's the most horrible.
But it's a goal.
Is there a chance it's had its day, though? Because like you mentioned too, there, Roscommon had a goal disallowed for a marginal square ball.
That was a square ball, by the way.
It wasn't.
No, I thought that got... I didn't think it was either. In injury time.
Yeah.
That's what it stood, yeah.
No. I'd agree. James, do you think this has had its day, the palm goal at the back post? Can we go back to shooting? Like, popping the ball
to
the corner?
It can be effective, but Oran Lynch knew that Stephen O'Brien wanted to pass it.
Stephen O'Brien has to read that down and go, yeah, I've got to bury this
then. So Stephen probably should have buried it, but he'll argue that he did the right thing for the team. But
they defended it like that. That was the wrong thing. That was the wrong option he took. If the guys commit, then 100% pop it over the head, back post.
But Gooch said it in the post-match analysis. He was like, Sean Kavanagh kind of goes, would you have slipped it? And Gooch goes, there's not many times I'm slipping the ball in front of the goal. Like basically, you know, like if you're forward and you love that feeling of scoring, like that's just a kick it in the corner.
He's rolling that into the corner.
Into the corner, yeah. So, but I know for a fact we're coaching differently. A lot of teams, they're coaching drills where you run in. You see it in warm-ups. They're running in, dish it, tap in. I'm like, who's working in that situation?
But hold on, Jimmy. How many times are they missed? That's the point they're making. Nearly every game you watch, teams are getting this opportunity, 3-on-2 or a 2-on-1, and it's being butchered so many times. I think if the defenders come to you, slip it, palm goal. If they stand off and they're defending it well, which is what you'd be coached to do, then the guy in the ball has to make the play. He has to go for himself.
And it's but as well, right?
If I go for this, I'm selfish. Fuck that.
You are selfish. You're corner forward.
He's selfish.
I'd like to be greedy.
You're not selfish. Stephen O'Brien, he will look at that and he's driving home from Tralee and he's going, I should have buried that.
He probably is.
He knows he's made a mistake there.
But you know what a small change is to make it more successful? If you are going through on goal, make it look to the goalie and the defender as if you're going on your own. And then if they then come to you, slip it.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas if you're kind of going and... But if you're going... But this fella's not committing to the defender. They're kind of going waiting for the defender to make the decision.
Dublin's first half goal chance. Murch can't wait to give the ball to Costello. And it's 3-on-1 nearly. And it's like... Once that happens, I was like, this is not going to be a goal. You commit to the defender and then slip at the Costello, slip at the Lorcan O'Dell, pad, then back post. On the Casabar, the first half, the minute Ryan O'Donoghue passes that to Aidan O'Shea, I was like, this is not a goal. There's no way.
That was never going to be a goal.
And it's.
It wasn't.
You have to read it. Try and commit to
the defender. But Ryan O'Donoghue in that situation, Paddy. Ryan O'Donoghue was in the middle of the goal, running very quickly, right? With power and purpose.
But the Galway lads come into the middle of the goal. I'm thinking Aidan O'Shea just stand at the back at the edge of the square and Ryan O'Donoghue puts for a palm goal. Like the pass to Aidan O'Shea, Aidan O'Shea has to catch it and try and cut back in his left. Just tee it
you
up
don't want Aidan O'Shea to have to take on a man after he collects it. Yeah, I know what you mean. But
put it up into the air. No one's getting over him. He's going to bury it.
But if in that situation, I would say if Ryan O'Donoghue pulled the trigger half a second... earlier when kind of pull the trigger an early shot, keeper's not ready, defender's not ready, but we are getting into a phase where we're taking the ball as close as possible to the goalie and then looking to give a dish off, and it's
you see it in nearly every game, and we'll see it this weekend, the opportunities, but it's just I'm surprised no one's kind of, and there's no right or wrong, you need to wait and see how the defenders play it, but it's just amazing that these gilt edge opportunities are coming up and teams are. It's so often they're not. They're butchers.
I think Muggsy did the best shots. Muggsy did
dummy,
it best.
Dummy.
Let on you're going to pass that ball.
But that's what he's saying. Commit a defender.
All the intent in the world and you're never going to pass it. You just give it. And poor Pater Andrews.
Pater was the first one. Pater wasn't the dummy.
Who else, Paddy? Who else?
Okay.
And Casey goes that
Pater
way.
Pater was the guy who tackles him when he wins the ball. He didn't go for the dummy.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes. Thank you. Pater would never fall. Sorry,
I'm
going to
defend my brother in that regardless.
What a goal.
I told you, I have that jersey. Muggsy, if you're listening, you can have it back.
But it's just the intent that Muggsy gives those dummies. That's what pulls it off. So
amazing goal.
I think when you're that close to goal, it's easier said than done. But if you give it a bit of intent that you're going to slip it, do the right thing, and then you bury it. That's the way.
Anyway, keep an eye out. Keep an eye out. Yeah, very good goal from McLaughlin. He was very good yesterday. And that's, you asked, are there good winter players? His power and pace against the gale force wind and bodies back. Mm. That's what I thought. I thought Gavin White, one of his big strengths for Kerry, I thought he could have used that a lot more in the first half when Derry had loads of bodies back. But Owen McLaughlin, I thought, was very good for Mayo in that first half, giving them that platform. Paddy Durkin's second half.
Durkin and the two midfielders were lively with the legs as well. You know, they had lots of legs, Mayo.
Yeah. And they just every time they were pushed, they were penetrating that Galway defence. That's what you need against that when there's bodies back. But it was a very good finish from Owen McLaughlin. He's a couple of bad misses himself in the past, but that was a great finish now.
Yeah, I thought he's kind of buried a couple of goals like that before, but just again, the intent. I thought Fergal Boland on his return to the panel. He's been dropped by a couple of Mayo managers over the years, Fergal Boland. A scoring wing forward, James.
And
one of the boys of Europe.
Flynn on the other side has carried on, clips a lovely couple of scores himself.
Yeah, they got five from play, I'd say, between them today, the two boys.
Absolutely. So look, big first day for Mayo. They're playing the Dubs next week. We might talk about that on Thursday's pod. So we're going to have two pods every week here on the Football Pod. Thursdays are going to be for Off The Ball members. I'll post a little bit of detail around that after the pod up on Twitter. And you can check us out in the usual feeds on a Monday on YouTube and on podcast in the Football Pod. So that's the plan for 2024 and Season 4. We mentioned Mayo there briefly. Is Pádraig Joyce, like I mentioned him last week, as my team to watch for 2024? Should I be backtracking on that decision already in January, on January 29th? Like, can they get it together? No Peter Cook. Killian McDay's not going to be around for the league. Well,
Peter Cook's gone for a year.
Out injured. He's out. He's not in the panel. Now, maybe he comes back at some stage. I don't know. But I think work-wise, I think he could be just got to step back. But look,
what
did
he say in silk?
He was in the stand. There was a photo posted of about 9 Galway footballers in the stand. McDaid was there, Comer was there, Silk.
If you look, and this is similar to Kerry the other night, like Sean Kelly, Killian McDaid,
Sean
and
Kelly
Comer are missing. So it's your centre back, your midfielder, and your full forward. Mm. You know, the spine of the team.
Cook wasn't there, and Conroy was sub. Like, you're taking out literally five.
The spine of the team.
The spine.
So will Joyce be
go with him?
This is the thing, Tom. Guys are getting opportunities. No, bar Derry, teams are so many players getting opportunities. No one's near full strength. So I agree. I think Pádraig should be looking at going, I've given guys an opportunity, and maybe some of these guys aren't up to it. That's what he'd be looking at there, more so than kind of saying we're under a pump for the rest of the season. You know, he said Kerry missing their centre back in Morley, centre forward, Paddy Clifford. David Clifford inside. Yeah. Galway the same. You know, you take the spine out of any team, they're going to be under a pump. Galway were beaten well, but I think the biggest thing Joyce will learn is go, I gave 3 or 4 lads a bit of a run out there, and maybe they're just not up to this level. I think that's what he'll take from it more so than any major panic around their long-term chances for the season.
Yeah, for sure. Just go through some of the other results this weekend, and we might touch on one or two of these games. A few of them we'll go through on Thursday. We're looking ahead to the weekend again. You mentioned earlier on how tight the margins were in these games. So Kerry lost to Derry by a point. Dublin lost to Monaghan by a point. Mayo scored a late penalty and a late point to win by 2-12-10. That's an 8-point win. And Tyrone got by Roscommon by 3 points. A good performance from Tyrone. Yeah, impressive. Yeah, and I think we might talk about Tyrone on Thursday. But we look ahead to Derry Tyrone, which is going to be a cracker in Celtic Park on Sunday. That's going to be it's going to be a smashing game. Yeah,
Derek Hanlon's performance. Derek Hanlon was top class.
Yeah. So we might come back to that because I'm looking for a player of the weekend as well in Division 2. I wrote a piece around Meath this week, and they're 15 years in Division 2. And if they wanted to get out this year, 15 of the last 17 seasons they've spent in Division 2, I nailed my colours to the mast. I said they'd need to beat the promoter Fermanagh to get on and start making moves out of the division. And they drew. They were very lucky to get a draw, I think, in the end. After the game, Conor O'Rourke was bemoaning the Sigerson Cup and the amount of players that he's missing and the fatigue that set in around the Meath panel. It is a very young Meath team, but Fermanagh came down and were full value for a point, and it's going to go a long way towards them staying in the division this year if they can.
How many have they played in Sigerson?
I'll clock it up for you this week and I'll give it to you later in the week, James. I think there's a fair few. There is a significant number of Meath footballers playing still actually deep into the competition, which is a good sign on one hand. But yeah, I think Meath only had a couple of scores at the weekend. Dahi McGowan and Owen Frayne, two young players. But that's that. Kildare, very poor Calvin, Raymond Gallagher got a great start, 16 points to 12 win against Kildare. That was played in Carlow, so Kildare's home games this year in Network. Cullen Park, Armagh just about got over the line against Loud, a 1-point win. Connor Turbutt flying again. Do you remember the form that fellow was in this time last year? He was out in outrageous form.
But that's we're saying Armagh lost a lot of very, very tight league games in Division 1 last year, ended up getting relegated. That could be... Like, Division 2 probably more important than Division 1 in terms of teams looking to get back up and also avoid Tatlin Cup, but for McGeaney and Armagh to get that win, that's an important win for them.
Yeah.
They have to get back up.
Yeah.
It's massive.
Oh, they have to. Yeah, 100%. And another team that would be targeting, Samuel Wright, a very late 45 to get a draw for Loud. It would have been a big boost for Ger Brennan and his management team to get that draw first day out. So Loud have Cork next weekend, and that is a must-win game for both Loud and Cork, who had good leagues last year, because Cork got whooped by Donegal, 120-26. Cork posted one of the lowest scores of the weekend. I think it could be the third lowest score of the weekend. They're 2-6. And that was a relatively tight game in the first half. Cork's goals keeping them in touch, but Donegal post them 120 last. That is very impressive.
This time of year,
in the conditions, you know, in Ballybuffet. Yeah, and the player I picked out last week as a player to watch, Oisin Gallan, pulled out before the game, wasn't available. So, like, Paddy McBurty, what did you say he scored, Paddy? 1-6, I think. Took his goal very well. So, yeah, impressive.
There was a chat. There's an guy overlap, and he's kind of looking. Will he slip this off? Defenders are backing off. Paddy McBurty, boom, have some of that.
Bang it.
Yeah.
Loved that. Yeah, loved it. So that was
Chris Oak-Jones came up with a worldie of a goal.
He did. Just to get that in there, Jones. You can edit this bit out. Jimmy wants to.
Chris, he got 1-1 late on. Absolutely.
He got 1-2. He got 1-2. But no, the goal was they were cut out. The goalie was gone out the field.
Was that similar to Conor Gainey's goal?
Yeah, very similar. Mm. Even though Conor Gainey's finish.
Great finish.
Was tidy. Do you know he put a bit of pace in it?
Yeah.
Backed himself.
Yeah. What about.
The last thing you want to see there is a watery, dribbly, safe kick. The next thing is taken off the line.
Scratches over the side.
He just said, top spin it in.
Are we chatting about Donegal at all here tonight? Are we saving our power? Because that was I liked what they were about yesterday.
Mm.
You know, and everyone's kind of looking, what's Jim McGuinness going to bring to it? Intensity, to be fair to them, they're going at it from all over the pitch. So it's definitely not the more maybe conservative style, which he would have been known for in his first stint. That was if you're a Donegal supporter, you're excited by what you're seeing yesterday. Definitely.
100%. Yeah. Like, some of the players that stood out to me were the likes of Pat Morgan and Ryan McHugh are obviously back, but Kieran Moore playing wing back is a fella I think we're watching this year. Redhead bursting up the field,
can't miss him.
The kind of pace and power that you would have expected from some of the Donegal. I actually missed that. Some of the Donegal boys back a decade ago. I just think he's a natural fit in a Jim McGuinness team, and Keelan McGonigal playing centre back as well is driving up the field. So like, yeah, I just think. You know, Donegal has six starting forwards, their two midfielders both scored.
I think that's a good sign. Donegal's problem for a lot of time last year was they were too slow. They were just kind of lethargically moving the ball around the field.
But that could be a style of play.
McGuinness
is
the main thing.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it didn't work.
No, I agree.
You know, like they were too slow. Whereas McGuinness, I guarantee every drill inside in training is just helter skelter 100 miles an hour. Just get them used to moving the ball fast. And I don't think they'll kick that much ball yet. I think they'll run a lot of it with pace. But I think that's going to be the major change for them. They're going to play at a way higher pace.
Well, it's such a contrast. And you can see it. And that kind of methodical style of play, that's kind of coming from the coaching team. And some teams play that way and it works for them. But it's clear that they're silly chalk and cheese from Donegal in 2023. McGuinness, even through the McKenna Cup, which you seen the other day, it's like, go. All is go. And mistakes will happen, that's fine. But that's an exciting thing to watch for us, and I'm sure the players, and the fact that they were such convincing winners against Cork. Like, Cork are one of the strong teams in Division 2. So I was kind of questioning the Donegal of the firepower, kind of what way are they going to approach this thing? But as a starting point, I think that's a great start for them.
Yeah. Well, like, Cork have a watery enough record in their first outing. You know, I don't think they've won a game since 2017. Record, Kerry are quite poor. So, were you watery enough, James, in Kerry in the league? You know, that first game.
Games.
Is there something psychological going on here? You can't get it up in January.
Oh,
Jesus.
Sorry, you can't get up for it.
You're still on about the National League. The thing is, it depends on when you've gotten back in, what your goals are. At that time, when I was playing, there was no, like the games were spread out. Even you could get fit about 10 times in the year. You know, there was 3 weeks between championship matches, at least sometimes, maybe even four or five. A big break between the league and the championship. So I think it is different now. You don't want to be miles behind and chasing. But at the same time, the first two or three games in the National League, give some game time to fellas, get their fitness up, try and find one or two who'll be part of the team, and then just off you go. It doesn't have to be, every game doesn't have to be an All Ireland final National League.
The best time to play Kerry in the National League is the opening weekend.
Really?
Ah, yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. I'd say the same at Dublin. Like you're never top of the pops in January.
Yeah. And Galway as well. I think Galway teams will be targeting them too. So we'll see those teams as the weeks go on. Just to mention Division 3, Clare got a massive win in Ennis. They won by a point, 9 points to 1-5 against Sligo. Tony McEntee, Sligo. That was a big win for either one of those two. Westmead got by Offaly. Desi Dolan hoping to build on that, a 4-point win in Tullamore. Limerick fell short against Antrim. James's team to go down this year, 2-14 to 2-7.
Hang on.
Hold that one over you, James.
Who did I say was to go down?
Limerick or
Antrim, but I listened back to her.
I said Limerick.
I listened back to her game last week, and I was telling you that you couldn't pick the same teams, and I actually picked the same team twice. So
you're full of shit.
So we won't, know your own we won't hold it against anybody.
No, I'll hold it against
That was on Thursday's pod. And Wicklow had down in Ockram, they lost by 5 points, down getting a win there, first day out, 18 points to 13. In Division 4, Killeen Roche.
Who's top of Division 4 as we speak?
Condeleitrim.
Thank you.
Yeah, and they were the joint highest scorers of the weekend alongside Donegal.
Total football.
Dara Rooney kicking 10 points from full forward. Very impressive performance. They bet Waterford 217 to 1-5. Wexford bet London 113 to 1-9. Carlow bet Tip 310 to 114. And Longford fell just short to Laois, whose goalkeeper kicked 5 points, including three from play. So, Killeen Roche with a big performance. No, new goalkeeper in Laois. So, there you go. Could I get a footballer of the weekend before we wrap up and we start looking towards the weekend? So, a footballer of the weekend that really kind of caught your eye, that maybe is a fella that might last beyond the winter, a fella that could have an impact in the championship, somebody that's motoring well already this year.
I go for O'Hanlon straight out. I thought he scintillating is the only word. And it just made me think about effective ways of attacking and how you can get a step on a fella and what kind of things it opens up for you. It's different to just the same old lateral play. He gets it, he goes at his man.
It kind of helped the way Dublin were defended as well, to be fair.
But Dublin defend like that, Paddy. It's very much man-o-man-o at times.
Yeah, I'd hope they defend a bit better come summertime, but...
No, obviously the quality of defending was poor, but like that's how Dublin set up. Like O'Hanlon's done it before against Dublin. He knows he gets that room to take on a man because they're not flooding the place with bodies. So that is probably the game where he can get extra joy, but he took advantage. And when he was playing well, he kept going. He was like, I'm going to play better. I'm going to kick another score. I'm going to create something. I'm going to be fouled. I thought he kept the foot on the gas whole game.
Yeah, he was class.
I would say, if we're talking about impact on the championship come later in the summer, I thought O'Hanlon was brilliant at the weekend, but I think he'll find it more difficult against more set defences. I thought Darragh Canavan was exceptional. I thought he was exceptional last year, and I think he's carried on. The big challenge for Tyrone, and we said this last year after All-Ireland quarter-final defeat to Kerry, was to try and get a system around him and Darren McCurry, and to be honest, his younger brother as well, to try a way to facilitate a bit of cohesion in their attack and not just be relying on brilliance, because he has that. And I think he showed it again yesterday. Really tough conditions. Like I said, the Rossies, the way they play, you probably get maybe a little bit more space. I think he's going to have his hands full this Sunday against Derry. Probably Chrissy McCaig, or would you put Conor McCluskey on him? Size, speed. Is McCluskey probably a better fit for Canavan? I'm intrigued and Mickey Hart knows him inside out, but I thought Dara Canavan was... I love watching him play, lads. I have a little bit of a man crush on him. I think he's...
Have you seen that? Have you seen that YouTube highlights reel of Peter Canavan?
Oh, yeah, the scores. Unbelievable. Yeah.
And it's like a lot of them are club scores and rotten conditions, and he's getting battered and he's bouncing off the ground and kicking. Dara has the same, and I know Rory's similar too, but Dara has that same bounce back ability or that ruggedness that he's able to just roll with the punches and just.
It's a bit of magic, doesn't class.
His kicking is excellent as well. Like, his conversion is extremely high. He never misses a handy one or never misses a lazy one. You know, he's always cracking it straight over.
Yeah.
Must say. Now, the defending, there was a couple of scores. The defending was wide
from Roscommon.
From Roscommon, yeah. You think that you dive on the boot because he pulled the trigger kind of quickly a couple of times. You think he'd be under more pressure, but he punished what was in front of him.
On that, a little controversial thing for the weekend. Red card, now Tyrone, we've kind of hammered him a bit for the disciplinary issues in the past. What do you think of Conca Patrick's red card?
That was never a red, really, was it?
No.
I didn't think it was red.
They've appealed it still to get off.
Have they? Yeah, it was. And you know, I don't like those ones where you're kind of blindsiding the fella. We're talking about last year where the player doesn't see and they're coming in to absolutely bury him. It's too dangerous, but I don't think that. I think he's going to put his arms open to tackle it.
I think where the point of contact best. Maybe I think the point of contact maybe because you know the ones
if you go in where, with your body and you're going in to mill him whereas Conrad, his hands he actually hits him with his chest, he's going in with his hands open to tackle him, so
or even if you mistime it and you catch him in the head with a shoulder or something, but I think
don't like that more, that's the one I'm talking about. If you're going at the shoulder guy and he can't see you and you catch him, that, I just think it's too dangerous, but Patrick's going with his arms open to actually tackle, so
yeah, maybe something was said to the ref, or maybe he misread.
I didn't. I thought it was the wrong call.
Yeah. Okay. Geez, lads, it was a quality weekend of football. There was so much that we could have chatted about there. I'm happy we have two pods this week on the football pod. So we might leave this one. Did we settle on it? Is it O'Hanlon or is it Dara Canavan? Who are we giving? Are we giving Stephen O'Hanlon?
You have to one each. Vote. You have to go for one now, Tom.
No, do you know what? I'll make the decision on the two players. I'll make the decision here. So
you have no one else. No,
Tommy's
from
playing God again.
No, I didn't play God here.
Ego maniac.
I think for the sheer excitement that what he brought to the table and the electricity in Croke Park on Saturday night and Monaghan getting the job done, I think Stephen O'Hanlon's our footballer of the week in the football pod. I think we'll go with that one.
Great. Thanks, Tom. Yeah. Thanks for your support.
Okay. I'll remember that.
Already looking forward to Thursday. We will look ahead to the weekend. There's another great weekend of football.
Great weekend games. Of football this weekend.
And then there'll be a week break, so there'll be a little less after that. So, you know, looking forward to that. We'll have a bit of crack on Thursday. Appreciate it this week. And anything else before we finish? Any overreactions from January? Any teams that you want to write off after the weekend?
I'd be worried about Kildare.
Okay.
I'd be worried about Kildare. I thought that after a poor season last year, they'd have got together.
Yeah.
They'd have got together and said, lads, that wasn't it. We're better than that. Even the team they have is still strong on paper. I know that's a curse. But you think they would put in a good winter, come out first National League game. Cavan, it's at home. I know it's not their home venue, but Cavan is a winnable game for someone of Kildare's quality.
Will they go back to Croke Park now for the next home game?
Don't think so. I think there's
try somewhere else. Where else can they
Crow
go?
Croke Park or nowhere.
They get out of Dr. Cullen Park. They might go to Port Leash for the next one.
Yeah.
I think they need a win next week. That's somewhere where the county needs a bit of enthusiasm and a bit of goodwill around Kildare. They need a win next week.
Who do Kildare have next
Kildare
week?
Kildare are playing away from Fermanagh and Brewster Park next week. And then they've got Armagh.
Gimme.
And Fermanagh were very well set up against Meath and actually could have scored a couple of more goals than they did. They've Fermanagh and then they've got Armagh in their neutral venue of Carlow.
Division 2,
they need to win this week.
Last week, it's tight. Division 2 is tight.
But they don't have the cushion.
It's not they were flirting
start.
With it last
it's
year.
Not a good start now,
They were flirting with it last year.
They were
in trouble.
Yeah. Okay, so you go.
We will
so
see.
There. Worries. All right, I don't think that's an overreaction. I think that's a pretty fair call. Lads, appreciate
thanks,
it.
Supporting really me it. Again on Jesus, the pod. Twice. And you attacking me last week about Kerry. I know you actually feel bad about that because it was ridiculous.
He was texting last week.
No, I thought I was on the money. James O'Donoghue, Paddy Andrews, well done, boys. Thanks for tuning in to everyone at home. We will talk to you all on Thursday.
Au revoir.